Acts chapter number 8, let's look at verse number 29, and would you stand with me please as we read Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And Enoch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity just to be able to take the Bible and handle it and teach it. And my goodness sakes, we've just read so much that honestly, we could spend the next hour just dissecting the verses that we've just read. Lord, we do want to use this story as a springboard to be able to begin our introductory comments and to be able to help us all, hopefully, to be taught or retrained or reminded of how to be a soul winner. And Lord, this next 4 weeks is going to be maybe not so much inspirational, although I hope it is, but instructional. And I pray, Lord, that we'd all be helped. Help us, Lord, to learn to have the skill and the wherewithal to do what Philip did, to be able to take the scriptures and preach to someone Jesus Christ and see that person converted and baptized, and then to go from that point forward in their life rejoicing. And I pray that it would even be so, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right, we're going to go ahead and pass out those papers now. But you're all going to promise me that you're going to listen to my introductory comments and not be flipping through the pages. All preachers hate putting papers in their people's hands. They hate it because you can't be trusted. And so if you would just kind of hold on to them, and we'll get those passed out. Quickly, fellows, quickly, quickly, quickly. Here we go. I should have picked some ushers that knew how to count. I think that's the main problem. Yeah, thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you. That could cause multiple problems. Very good. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you. Now, set those papers aside and let's draw our attention, if you will, for the next few minutes to Acts chapter number 8. Of course, we did not read the entire story, but I want to take from verse 29 and move on down and just give you just a handful of thoughts concerning this matter of soul winning and the necessary ingredients, I think, that most of the time need to be there in order for someone to be led to Christ. We all taken care of? Raise your hand if you didn't get a paper. Anybody at all, raise your hand. We in good shape. We got everybody covered. Thank you, gentlemen. Right here and right here. Raise them high so they can see you. Okay, we got it. We got it. No, wait a minute. Two more. Two more down here. There we go. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Acts chapter number 8, if you'll draw your attention to verse number 29. Let me say this. You'll see that word Spirit and it's capitalized. Let me start out my comments by saying this. Without the direction and empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God, we are wasting our time in this matter of trying to win souls for Jesus Christ. This is not something that can be done or accomplished in the power of the flesh. If I had the time, I could take you through multiple scriptures that would prove that over and over again. But most of you are probably thinking of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. And the Spirit of God is necessary as far as directing us, helping us. We need to be sensitive to Him. Young people, look up here and listen. Adults, please listen to me. Why, Brother Jerry, in independent fundamental Baptist churches, do we rant and rave and carry on so much about living clean lives and not being involved in sin and not having unconfessed sin in our lives? Because if we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, or even quench the Holy Spirit of God and His ability to communicate in our life, we do not just tune Him off in the area of convicting sin. We also shut Him down as far as in the direction and empowerment to be able to win souls for Jesus Christ. And so notice that the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip, I love this, ran thither to him. I like somebody who's excited. I like somebody who wants to see somebody saved. I like somebody who's eager to be obedient in the matter of winning souls and eager to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting when it comes to witnessing to somebody. Now, he asks a question in verse 30, understandest thou what thou readest? Notice the answer. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? I think you ought to underline that question, that answer to a question, which in itself was a question. How can I, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know what he was doing? He was reading in the Bible, and he was reading the very best chapter in the Old Testament, the clearest chapter in the Old Testament that explained the coming of the Messiah, and yet he did not understand it. You know why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. And you know what? It's interesting, even though, I mean, he was reading the John chapter 3 of the Old Testament, and still there was needed a soul winner. And still there was needed a soul winner. Now let me just, I just want to throw this out to you, and you think about it. If you, those of you that know this story, the Holy Spirit of God went to great lengths to take Philip from a city where they were seeing revival, take him clear out in the desert, all the way out there to a chariot where a man was sitting, reading the best portion of Scripture available at that time and explaining who the Messiah was and how to be saved. And yet God said he needs a soul winner. How can I, except some man should guide me? I'm not against any organization that works hard to print and distribute Bibles. I think they ought to be King James Bibles, but I'm not against anybody that's doing that. Sometimes just giving someone a Bible and feel like they're our responsibility to take care of, that's not true. People need soul winners. Lost people need soul winners. How can I, except some man should guide me? And so you say, well, Brother Jerry, I believe, and I'm not going to fuss with you about this, I don't personally believe it. But you may say, I believe that someone can just read the Bible and be saved with no human instrument. Well, if there was ever an opportunity for that to be illustrated in the Bible, we sure have it right here. Here was a seeking man reading the best portion of the Scripture available, and yet the Holy Spirit pulled from a revival, meaning a soul winner, to go and meet with him so that he could explain how to be saved. And so, can I say this? It is a wonderful privilege that God has given us to be involved in the process of seeing people saved. Wonderful privilege. That God, say, was this for the Ethiopian eunuch? It was, but it was also for Philip. You see, we get an opportunity to be involved in bringing people to Jesus Christ. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? So now, let's jump down. He reads the Bible to him. In verse number 34, the eunuch begins to ask Philip some questions. And I love verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, this is what soul winning is. That little verse captivates, describes what it means to be a soul winner. Philip had the ability, he had the skill, he had the knowledge with the scriptures
to be able to open up the Bible and from the Scripture. Notice the Bible says he opened his mouth. That means we have to know how to say something, what to say, how to explain to someone how to be saved. He then used the Scripture, so we have to be skilled in our usage of the Scriptures, and we have to be able to take the Bible and preach unto them Jesus, explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone. Now, I don't want you for one second to be intimidated by what I just said. Say, Brother Jerry, oh my goodness sakes, in other words, it takes a brainiac. It takes somebody that's been to Bible college. It takes somebody that's been saved for years and have studied the Bible. No, but you do have to know enough about the Scriptures and the handling of the Scriptures to lead someone to Christ. We're going to teach you in these 4 weeks exactly how to do that. Exactly how to do that. When we teach you how to do it, I'm going to encourage you to practice doing it. I think anything that you become proficient at takes practice. Amen? Those of you that are learning how to play the piano, it's not enough just to go to the lessons and listen to the teacher. You have to go and put practice time in. And so that's the way it is with leading someone to Christ. I've said this before, but when I was learning to be a soul winner, I would take my New Testament, literally I would do this. And I mean, I did this dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I would sit at a table, and I had a lamp on that little desk table, and I would take the Bible, and I would act like that lamp was a person, and I would lead that lamp to Jesus Christ. That lamp was saved many, many times, and if there's ever going to be a lamp in heaven, that lamp will be in heaven. I think when I walk in my mansion, I'm going to see that lamp. Say, praise God, it's stuck. Amen. He got it. And but literally, that may sound crazy, but you know what? The honest truth is, that's what you have to do. If you'll do it by yourself and go over and over what we teach you, you're going to gain confidence. And when you actually then are trying to teach someone who's an actual human being how to be saved, you're not going to be as intimidated because you'll have practiced it, you'll have gotten the flow of what you're supposed to say, and it will help you tremendously. So Philip was willing to open his mouth. And then the Bible says that he had the skill to take the Scriptures, and he knew how to take the Scriptures and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as a result of that, we won't go down through and teach the rest of this, but as a result of that, this man believed in Jesus Christ. He was baptized, and the Bible says he went on his way rejoicing. Now, I don't know about you, but other than being saved myself, there is nothing more exciting in all of the world than leading someone else to Jesus Christ. I mean, other than being saved myself, I don't know of anything else in my life that's brought as much joy as being used of God as an instrument to be able to share the gospel with someone and see them trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I want to talk to you tonight. I'm going to give you tonight, we're just going to give opening introductory statements and teaching concerning this matter of winning someone to Christ. Let me tell you what we're going to do. Today, we're going to give you some introductory comments and introductory teaching. Next Sunday night, we're going to cover the actual presentation of the plan of salvation and also show you how to mark your Bibles and get ready to be able to present the plan of salvation. That is what you'll need to practice over and over and over again, and that's what you'll use to win someone to Christ. On the third Sunday night, we're going to give you what I call hints and helps to being a good soul winner. Hints and helps to being a good soul winner. Then on the last Sunday night, if you'll come on that Sunday night, we're actually going to do a soul winning demonstration where we bring someone up here that will act and play out as if they are lost, and we will go from the time we knock on the door, and all of that is entailed in bringing about the conversation and presenting the gospel and show you how to win somebody to Christ. Now, please sit up and listen. Hey, Brother Jerry, I know this stuff. Well, let's learn it again together, amen? And let's let God maybe give us something. You know, I'll mention this in just a minute, but Brother Johnny Waterman asked me about this sword conference that was coming up in Evansville, and he wanted to go, and I said, well, I'd like to go too. And he said, why don't we ride down together? And we did. Brother Lonnie Mattingly, and I'm going to give him credit when we get there, just in his message gave me something that helped me be a better soul winner. I guess I kind of knew it, but I didn't really solidify that thought, and I hadn't done it the way he said, and it helped me tremendously, and I'll teach you that tonight. What I'm saying is this. I hope you never stop learning. I hope I never stop learning on how I can do better in this matter of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, if you look this way, let me just go over the tools of the trade.
the tools of the trade. You know what? If you're going to be a fisherman, then you have to have tools of the trade. It's fine to say, I'm going to be a fisherman. So you go out and get in a boat, and you go out and launch out, and you look around, and you don't have anything. And so, you know, you start calling, hey, fishy, fishy, hoping something will jump in the boat. That's probably not going to work. If you don't have the proper equipment, then you're not going to be a very successful fisherman. The Bible said, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And so very simply, we need to have some tools of the trade. Now, I think that all soul winners ought to have a soul-winning New Testament. Now, this is the size New Testament that I like to use. One of the things that's nice about it is it fits in my suit coat pocket right there. Or if I'm not wearing a suit coat and another jacket, I can fit it in my back pocket here. Also, ladies, it fits in your purse quite nicely. I would caution you about getting too small of a New Testament, because sometimes the print is so small that when you are trying to share with people the gospel, it's very hard for you to read, especially, amen, do I need to go any farther? And some of you young people, you didn't heard a thing. But it's a little hard maybe for others even if you're trying to show them the scripture. So this is a nice size. By the way, Bearing Precious Seed prints these. We've got about 7 or 8 of these in the back. And we paid $10 a piece for them. That's what Blessed Hope Baptist Church paid for them. If you want one, if you'll go see my wife or Lori, they know where they're at. Give them a $10 bill. You can have one. If we need more, we'll order them. But let me suggest to you, if you're going to be a soul winner, to get a soul-winning New Testament, okay? Also, there's something that I think every soul winner ought to carry with them, and that is gospel tracts. These are a wonderful, wonderful tool. We keep a variety. Brother Poet actually has been such a blessing ever since he started on here. I haven't had to worry one bit about where we are on the tracks or whether we have them or ordering them. He's just taking care of that. But he sees to it that we keep a nice variety of gospel tracks in our track rack back there. And he sees week to week that it stays stocked up. And this is an old standby, most of you. Ford Porter's track, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And it's just a wonderful track, probably as good as a detailed track as there is out there as far as really taking the space and time to present the gospel. I think we also have these in large print, which is helpful. We also have another company that we buy these for that really prints some very nice four-color tracks, very attractive. Four Steps Between Heaven and Hell, Does Anyone in This Whole World Care, You Must Be Born Again. And of course, there's literally, I'm not kidding about this, hundreds, probably thousands of good gospel tracts out there. We have some in the track rack, by the way, that are designed specifically for children. And we pay a little bit more for these, but they have the pictures and the explanation, something that a child could sit down and read, that was able to read with a very, very good, strong presentation of the gospel in it. And so gospel tracts. So what are the tools that you need? You need a soul-winning New Testament, because you know what? You can't start at that same scripture and preach Jesus if you don't have the scriptures with you. Gospel tracts are wonderful, not all of the time. Matter of fact, many times while you're out, somebody will either be too busy or say they're too busy to allow you to take the Bible. But a gospel tract allows you to leave the gospel in their hand as you leave. You say, well, Brother Joe, I just thought you said there has to be a human instrument involved. Well, I think there was human instruments that wrote these tracts. Amen? And they not only give scriptures, but they give an explanation of the scriptures. And a lot of times what I will say when I leave, if somebody says, yeah, I'm interested, but I don't have time right now, I will say to them, if I had the time, what I would tell you is the same thing that's written out in this tract. Please promise me that you'll take the time later in the day and read this gospel tract. And so gospel tracts. Now let me give you something else, and these have been a real blessing. We also use here at the church these little visitation packets. Now, our young people do not use them on their door-to-door visitation, but all of our adult visitation efforts, we use these packets. And this is something Pastor Ross put together, and I think it's just been so effective. I have received so many compliments from people in the community who have found these hanging on their doors when they weren't home and they came home and happened to find these hanging on their doors. You can take these things and you can stretch it out a little bit and pop it over the door. When somebody comes to the door, comes home from work, they find this
that says a gift from your friends at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and that's what's in here. There is a booklet, a gift booklet on heaven, written by Dr. John R. Rice, and of course we've used several different kinds of booklets. We try to rotate them, and it also has, of course, in it a gospel track. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about using these packets. But if you don't have the packets, if you have gospel tracts and your Bible, you're pretty much set. You're ready to go. Amen. Now let me talk to you also then about and by the way, you can pull your papers out now, and let's talk a little bit about the soul-winning presentation. What I want to do tonight is cover the first page here. Lord willing, we'll try to cover the first page here, so follow along with me. By the way, I'm going to forget to say this. I forgot to announce it, but right after the service, I'm going to need to meet with all of the Sunday school teachers and all of the bus captains and bus workers, bus drivers, anybody bus ministry related. And we're going to meet in this section right here, right after the service. There's some things we need to go over, so remind me of that. Don't let me forget that. Let me talk to you about soul-winning presentation. Let me just cover this first page. Number one, you notice at the top it says the compliment and conversation. Now, I hope that these points give you some ideas, something that will help you as far as just an icebreaker type thing. What this soul-winning presentation is teaching you how to do cold turkey, what we call cold turkey door knocking. That means you just go up to a house at random, knock on the door, they don't know you're coming, you don't know who's behind that door, and you're going to introduce yourself and try to, of course, invite them to church, but if possible, present the gospel to them. One of the most important things in soul winning is learning to win people to yourself so that you can win the person to Christ. Be genuine, sincere, prayed up, compassionate, and real. The ability to carry a good conversation and turn that conversation to the gospel is something that is learned and perfected by going and doing, and I really do believe that. You say, Brother Jerry, that's not my strong suit. Well, you know what? I think that's probably true in a lot of people's life. Some folks have the natural gift of gab. I mean, and if you're blessed with that, let me share this with you. Use it for Jesus Christ. Honestly, there's people that just never met a stranger. They can strike up a conversation with anybody. They have an ease about them. You know what? Use that to win souls. Use that to win souls. Now, I will tell you this. That is not how I am naturally. I mean, you may say, oh, Brother Jerry, I've gone with you and you seem like you have an ease with people. Well, the reason that I do, to whatever extent I do have right now, is because I have went and I have done it and I have learned it, but it's not natural for me, and it wasn't natural in the beginning for me. And so there's really no shortcut here except to do it. Now, let me tell you something that will help. If you haven't gone soul winning and you'd like to learn to go soul winning, across the course of this month, we're going to present to you some soul winning opportunities. We're going to also give you the opportunity to be paired up with someone who is skilled as a soul winner. One of the best ways to learn the compliment and conversation is to go with someone who's good at it and just listen to them. I promise you that's true. I have gone soul winning over the years with probably hundreds of different people. And it just seems like I love to listen to each and every one. Everybody's unique. Everyone has a way about them. You say, Brother Jerry, what do you use? I probably use a little bit of everything that I've learned from everybody I've ever gone with. And I've just had to borrow. Since it didn't come naturally, I just had to borrow. I listened to people, watched people, and watched how they had an ease with people, and then tried to mimic that as best I could. Now, let me just say this before we go into it. This isn't a lecture on how to be a great salesman. This isn't gimmick stuff. I really believe that what you need to do in order to be good with people, you say, well, you know, listen, be you. Be real. You ever had somebody knock on your door who was a trained professional salesperson? And you know what you felt like you were talking to pretty quick? A trained professional salesperson. Now, I'm all for us learning a system. I'm all for it. But let me tell you something. You need to acclimate what I'm teaching you into your personality, and you need to be you. And so, you know what? That's your personality. with a little training, has the ability to win people to Jesus Christ. I promise you. I promise you. And so just be genuine, sincere, prayed up, compassionate, and real, and you'll be surprised how far that will take you. Let me cover number one. This is important. I believe that as you knock on a door, you should clearly introduce yourself and then ask for their name. That's two key points here. Now, let me go on now. We're going to go to a door, and let me tell you exactly how I would do it, especially if I'm using the packet. I'd do the same thing if I had a gospel tract. When I knock on someone's door, I already have this in my hand, and I have it pointed out like this. Now, the reason I like this is this. At a glance, they can look down, and they can understand where I'm from immediately. You know, I had a guy stop at the house here about, this has been fall, I guess. Time goes by so quick, but I'm assuming in the fall. Some guy knocked on the door, and he was selling something. And he began to do what I'm going to teach you, the compliment. You think he would have taken this course, the compliment, starting a conversation, trying to get to know me. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't tell me who he was, and he didn't tell me where he was from and what he was doing. All he did is knock on the door, hello, hello, and he didn't even say my name is. He didn't tell me his name, he didn't tell me where he was from. He just started trying to, you know, be my buddy. Well, let me tell you something. Until I know who you are and why you're there and who you're with, I'm not interested in becoming your buddy. And within about 30 seconds, I finally said, sir, who are you and why are you here? I said, Brother Jerry, was that rude? No, I don't think it's rude at all. See, I'm standing at the door. Behind me is my wife and girls. And in this crazy day and age, to open the door to a stranger, and if people don't open the door, I'll be honest with you, I don't even really blame them anymore. But if I'm going to open the door, I want to know who you are and why you're there in the first 5 seconds. let's not do that. I'll sneak up on it. I'm going to spring it later that I'm from the church. Don't do that. Knock on the door. Clearly introduce yourself. Knock on the door. Hello, my name's Pastor Jerry Ross, and this is Jonathan Reiser, and we're from, and I've got this in my hand, and we're from the Blessed Hope Baptist Church over in Jasonville, Indiana. How are you? What's your name? Now, immediately, they know who you are and where you're from. Also, when you knock on a door, let's suppose this is the door right here, this side of the pulpit. If you knock, come up, knock on the door, don't stand right here at the door. If you ever open the door and you have somebody, you know, with their face practically on the screen, you just kind of, so I always knock on the door and take a full, good, generous step backwards. If it's steps going up and there's a small step at the top, I'll knock on the door and take two steps down and be standing there and giving them plenty. For one thing, they got to get the door open. And another thing, you don't, again, in this day and age, want to startle people, okay? Especially in Greene County where they have guns. Amen. You got to be very careful about that. So if you got a gospel tract, you've got that gospel tract out. Hello, my name is Pastor Jerry Ross. If you've got this, you've got the packet out so they can clearly see the name of where you're from. Now, after you've clearly introduced yourself and your partner, ask the person's name. Now, let me suggest something. The minute they tell you their name, they say, my name is Nancy, and I'll say immediately, the next thing comes in my mouth is I want to repeat their name. I'm just in awe of people who have this memory when it comes to remembering names. I suspect most of you in here are more like me. You have to work at it. One of the things I've found is I say their name immediately and it comes out of my mouth, it reinforces it in my mind. How many of you honestly have ever said to somebody, what's your name? And within 15 seconds into the conversation, if someone offered you $1 zillion, you could not say that person's name. All right, good. That makes me feel so much better. But that's just the truth of it. And so I use it once immediately, then try to use it often afterwards. One man said this, there's no music more beautiful to the human ear than a person's own name. And people do like to hear their name, and it makes it personable. By the way, I do that when I'm on the phone. If I call a servant, and I'll tell you, this works. I'm just telling you. Let's say that I call, one of these, multiple places we have to call, and you're talking with somebody on the other end of the phone, they'll usually say, I had a gal the other day, and I remember her name because I used it. But she said, hello, my name is Linda. I'm with Icon. And I always say, hello, Linda. And I do. I use her name. And let me tell you something. When I do that, and I'll use her name several times, I get the best service. I do. It's almost like they go out of their way to help me. You say they would have anyway. Well, maybe. But they go out of their way to help me because it's almost like we become friends. You know, this person was kind enough to use my name. And so that works on visitation also. Now, number two, compliment something first. After you've clearly introduced yourself, compliment something first. And when I'm walking up to the door, I like to try to find something that would be used as a conversation piece or something that I can compliment. And everybody's got something that you can compliment. Now, don't lie to them. Honestly, all kinds of folks live in all kinds of situations. And if they've got trash all over their yard, don't knock on the door and say, you know, as I was walking up, you've got a beautiful yard. You know, they're going to shoot you. They are going to shoot you. So don't do that. Don't lie to them. But try to find something to compliment. Their children, you can talk about their children. If they've got, you know, there's some different things. Now, sometimes you're going to walk up and you just don't see anything. That's fine. Don't try to force it. But sometimes that will transpire. And then I like to get them started talking about something that they may be interested in themselves. And a lot of times if you compliment something, let's say that they've got an antique restored tractor or car in the driveway, and I introduce myself and then I say, you know what? That is incredible. Sir, that must have taken a lot of hours. Did you restore that yourself or did someone else do it for you? I promise you, if that guy restored that himself, you are going to hear about it. And he's going to want to talk about it. You know why? Because he's very proud of it. And here's what I always believe. Folks, sometimes we want people to listen to us, but we're not willing to listen to them. And I think it's just a great, not only a tool to build good relationships, but also it is a good thing to learn to do, is just listen and realize somebody else got an interest. Somebody else may like to talk about something. You want to talk about what you're passionate about, and somebody else is passionate maybe about something else, and they'd like to talk about it. So just listen to them. You know, I will tell you this. If you're a good listener, you're in high demand. If you're a good listener, you're in high demand. Because most people are not listening. They're waiting for you to breathe so that they can butt in and change the subject to themselves. I'm just telling you, that's the honest truth of it. So if you are a good listener, and you and children, listen to me. What we're teaching you down here at the school, when we try to teach you to listen, instead of the whole time a teacher's talking, you're going, but all you're doing is interrupting and trying to say something without listening what's being communicated to you. It goes beyond just disrespect. We're trying to give you a great tool that will bode you well throughout your life. Learn to listen to people. Learn to listen to them. And sometimes we get this machine gun mentality. We're going to hit as many doors as we can, and I'm all for that. But sometimes we just kind of, in a very robotic, clinical way, run over people and try to force feed the gospel to people. We're there to deliver what we're there to deliver. And you know what? Folks pretty much, within a few minutes, will realize whether you're genuine, whether you're real, and whether you really are interested and concerned with them, or whether this is just some big practice sales pitch, okay? Now, let them be the experts. Let them teach you. And if you listen to them later, they will be more apt to listen to you, and be genuinely interested. And I don't know. I don't have to work very hard at this, because I'll be honest with you. I'm just a curious person by nature. And if somebody knows something about something that I don't know about, I really am interested. But if not, fake it. Amen. And be as interested as you possibly can be. Now, just be genuinely interested and learn something. All right, now let me give it to you number two. Number two, share your testimony. Share your testimony. This is what I'm going to bring in a little bit of what Brother Mattingly taught the other night. But let me first of all read this. After the opening conversation, return to the purpose of your visit. Mrs. Jones, like I said earlier, I'm visiting from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd like to share two quick things with you. And I think this is really a neat way to do it. And again, you can do it a little differently, and it's fine. There's no right and wrongs here. But I think if you let them know that you're there to share two quick things with them. People like the word quick. You know, they're already thinking, how long is this person going to keep me at the door? or I need to get so-and-so. I mean, we live in a busy world, and if they get the feeling that you are there to drag this thing out, even in the compliment and conversation, I wouldn't let that go very long. I'd ask a few questions, and then I'd say, listen, I know you're busy. Let me get to why I'm here. I'm just here to give you two quick things. And that way they feel like that you're being respectful of their time. You're not there to sit there and take all day with them, and you're going to get to the point, okay? And two quick things with you. The first is a gift from our church to your home. This is why I love these packets. You know, people like gifts, don't you? I mean, just something that someone gives you that says, you know what, we had some forethought. We wanted to leave something nice with you. And so this is why I really like the packets. Now, if don't use the word gift. If you can just say, I want to leave you some printed material from our church. And act like, boy, it's just, isn't that nice? And look at this. I'm going to leave this with you today, amen? And talk about it as if it's valuable, because it is valuable. It's very valuable. And then, I hope you will enjoy it. That was number one. It took about 15 seconds, 10 seconds. Number two, the second thing I'd like to share with you is my personal testimony. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in using your testimony. I learned that in the process of learning how to be a soul winner. I think it may be the most effective tool that you have in getting folks to listen to you, ultimately let you open the Bible and show them how to be saved. I used to use my testimony in the presentation. I'd wait till about the fourth point when I was getting ready to draw the net and then share my testimony. This is what Brother Mattingly taught the other day, and I sit there and listened to him and said, you know what, I agree with that. But he said this, he said, I think this, you ought to share your personal testimony right at the beginning. Now, let me tell you a couple reasons why I think it's a good idea. If you start out by sharing your personal testimony, first of all, if that's all they let you share with them, you've given them the gospel of Jesus Christ by telling them how you got saved. Now again, not in as much detail as you would if they let you take the Bible and go verse by verse, but at least you give the presentation of your testimony and you tell them, this is how I got saved. Another thing it does, it immediately lets them know that you're not there talking like this, up to down. You're talking across. What you're going to ask them to consider at one time you considered. What you're going to ask them to do at one time you did. So when you give your testimony, it's not like some holier-than-thou religious person, which sometimes that's the way the world views us, that's come there to save them. But here is a sinner, a saved sinner that's willing to tell you about it. I was once here. This is what happened to me. And you know what? Has that ever happened to you? And so it also does that. So it gives them the gospel, and it allows you to get to come across on the kind of their level as far as, listen, what I want to talk to you about, somebody one time shared with me. I was once you, and I want to show you how you can be saved. And so the testimony is a very, very powerful thing. Now, something else Brother Mattingly mentioned to us down there, and this is the crux of what he said. He said, I think everybody ought to be willing to give, or ought to be able to give, a very brief summarization of your salvation experience. You ought to practice this, practice giving your testimony. Now, Brother Mattingly said this. I wouldn't care if you went a little over this, but I think it's a good idea. He said, in about 60 seconds, in about 1 minute, you ought to be able to tell somebody the basics of when you were saved. Now, he said, try to include this. Now, you say, in 60 seconds, you can't do this. Yes, you can. Try to include these three ingredients when you think about and practice your testimony. And you know what? If I was to give you an assignment this week, it would be for you to write out and practice giving your testimony in about a 60 seconds to 120 seconds, 1 to 2 minutes max. Max. Just give them a brief, the brief story of your conversion to Jesus Christ. Now, what should it include? It should include a little bit about how before you were saved, and then how you were saved, and then what has happened and changed in your life since you were saved. It should contain before you were saved, how you were saved, and I know we're not going to be able to go into minute detail, but at least the basics, and then what's happened to you or the differences in you since you've been saved. Now, that gives them again the idea that you have a reference point. I was once lost. This is how I heard the gospel. I was saved. And you know what? My life has been different since then. And so let me just illustrate this for you. This is something that I do regularly, and it works very, very well. I like giving my testimony. I'm practiced at giving my testimony. So I'll knock on the door. We'll do some conversation. Then I'll get back to it. Let me give you a gift. And could I share with you real quickly my testimony? When I was a young man, that's how I always start out. When I was a young man, for several years, we didn't attend church anywhere. But you know what? My dad relocated to Brazil, Indiana, and we began to attend a country church in Clay County. And that's where I, for the first time, began to hear Bible preaching and began to hear the gospel. It was all new to me, but as I sat there, I learned about sin. I learned that the Bible talks about a real hell and a real heaven. And I began to become convicted and worried about my eternal soul. At the conclusion of one of the services, I went forward in an invitation, and the preacher opened the Bible, and he explained to me how I could know for sure that I would spend an eternity in heaven. And I'm going to tell you, that was the most wonderful day in my life, because that day I got saved. And let me say this, since then, I have never laid my head on my pillow and worried about whether or not I'd go to heaven. Jesus Christ has changed my life. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Now, right there, if you'd have put a stopwatch on it, somewhere around a minute, a little over a minute, that's my testimony, okay? That's a break. Now, I didn't go into the verses. I didn't go to the breakdown of all how to be saved. I'm going to ask them to let me do that, but at least they know, and they've had put in their minds the fact that you aren't saved, then you must learn how to be saved. And it changes you after you're saved. And so practice your testimony. Practice your testimony. Conclude by saying something like this. Since the day I was saved, I've had a wonderful peace in my heart. It's great to know that no matter what happens to me here on earth, I have the promise of God that heaven will someday be my home. And you don't have to do those exact words, but let them know. Listen, since salvation, it's been different. It's been good. God's been good. I have peace I didn't have before. I mean, listen, folks, listen. Let's look up here and let me give you something. If you're not excited about what happened to you, they're not going to be excited about what happened to you. I mean, you know, I think one of the, and this is the third reason I was going to give you, why it's important to give your testimony. You know what? Yeah, it allows you to give the gospel. Yeah, it lets them know that that you also needed to be saved. But you know what it ought to do also? It ought to warm your heart. Because after you say, Brother Jerry, you know, and I'm not talking about just write it down and give this little memorized speech. Relive it while you're talking about it. I mean, there's been times when I've talked about that, and you know what? When I get done, there's a smile on my face. Sometimes God, you know how sometimes, I don't know why we are, but we're more tender than others. I was doing this the other day at a door, and by the time I got done, you know, it's been years ago, but you know what? There were tears in my eyes. I was back there getting saved. I was remembering that day, and that person looked at me as if to say, man, something happened to this guy. This is real stuff. Now, teenagers, listen to me. It's very important. We put you on a bus. We send you out. We take you soul winning. What your preacher just gave you, every one of you, I want to incorporate, every one of you, I want you to incorporate that into what you do at the door. You know, I'm glad our teens are out there, but remember, we're not here to teach you how to have a visitation program. It's not teen visitation. It's teen soul winning. And listen, so many of you, I'm afraid, get in the habit of just going to the door, handing the material, inviting them to church, and go on, and never try to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, step up and say it. And this is an easy way to go into it by sharing your testimony. So I would encourage you to do that. And it's very, very effective. I could take you through the scriptures, and I've got some written down, but we're not going to because of time. But let me just say this. It's a biblical thing to do also. Apostle Paul, and you've of course heard this preached before, and you've heard me say it, heard pastors say it, but the Apostle Paul used his salvation testimony almost every time it's recorded in the book of Acts that he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just think it's a biblical thing to do, and it'll warm your heart. Boy, it'll get you into... By the time you get done talking about how you were saved again, you're going to be ready to see somebody else saved, and you're going to be excited about what you're about to tell them, okay? So practice that out. Your story's a little different than mine, but you go ahead and you say, this is what happened, this is how it happened, and get you and get it to where you can give your testimony in a brief, condensed manner. Then, last thing we're going to cover tonight is the question. The question. All right, here's at the end of this, and again, this doesn't have to be perfectly word for word. I've heard all kinds of variations of the question. But at some point after your testimony, you need to look at that person and directly ask them about their salvation. Mrs. Jones, do you have the complete assurance that heaven will someday be your home? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go from to heaven? I heard one man that I went with used to say, let me ask you this question. What about eternity? What would happen if you were thrust into eternity? I don't care how you ask it, but you know what? You need to bring them to that point where you get them thinking, if my life ended, where would I go? What would happen to me? And then see then if the Holy Spirit does not use that question. Now, if they give you a clear yes, and some people give you a clear yes, then you ought to ask them, well, good, tell me about it. Now, you just shared your testimony with them. And it's not, listen, if they're saved, they ought to be willing to tell you about their salvation experience. Some people say yes just to get rid of you, and then they don't have any kind of story. And listen, you know what, folks? We're not there to hurt them. We're not there to embarrass them. We're not there to ridicule them, and don't do any of those things. But that'll help you to know whether or not they just are agreeing with you or whether they are truly saved. And then you can proceed from there. If they answer no, ask this question. Mrs. Jones, may I take, and don't say that if her name's not Mrs. Jones, okay? But Mrs. Jones, may I take a few minutes and share with you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Now, let me tell you what I do. And again, some of you go soul winning with me. If I say, you know what I do, and I forget to do it one time, okay, I try to, you know, this is, but mostly this is when I say that I care, I'll say this. When they say, you know, I don't know that for sure, I'll say, Mrs. Jones, and immediately I take my Bible out. Mrs. Jones, may I take a few minutes then and share with you from the Bible how you could know for sure that you're going to heaven? And I already open it to the page. I'm ready to go. You know, because the thing is, if you say, I have a Bible here and I'd like to take that Bible and show you how to be saved, you know, it's not out. You know, that's okay. But if you've already got it open, sometimes they'll just go ahead and let you because, man, you look so excited about it. Now, you ought to be excited about it. You ought to be excited about it. Let me just say this. Politely, respectfully, I do everything I can to get them to let me show them the Scriptures. I don't pressure them for a decision at the end of it because I think that you shouldn't pressure people. I urge them, but I don't pressure them. But I want them to let me take the Bible and get it open. Now, why do you think that's true? Why am I designing everything that I do to the point where I want them to be able to allow me, as we're going to teach next Sunday night, to have the Scriptures open and begin to share with them the Word of God? You thinking? You know, I've said this a couple times recently, but I can find no promise in the Bible that my words will not come back void. But I can know for sure that the Bible says that the Word of God will not come back void. And so even when you give your testimony in that brief time, you might want to incorporate the quoting of a couple of verses. There's something powerful about the Bible. There really is. And you open the Word of God and you start reading it to somebody, and even somebody that seems not all that interested, and it's amazing how in the process of the Word of God being spoken to them, that Word is sharp. It is powerful. It does pierce and divide, and it's amazing. Somebody who's just kind of, all right, like almost hesitantly allowing you to, by the time you get into the Scriptures, how the Word of God draws them in. And so what I would do is I would politely and respectfully, but I would do everything I could to try to get them to let me have a few minutes of their time where I can actually go through the Scriptures with them. Those are the introductory comments. And next Sunday night, what we'll do is try to go ahead then and teach you about the actual presentation of the gospel. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. While we're preparing for the invitation, let me ask you a couple questions. We took a few minutes and looked over Acts chapter number 8. Let me ask you this.
Are you well connected? Do you have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit of God? That's going to become key if you're going to develop into a soul winner. Do you have a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit of God? Do you communicate with Him often? Do you hear Him often? Do you run like Philip when He whispers? This is so important as you prepare to learn to be a soul winner. I've heard all kinds of definitions for revival, but my favorite definition for personal revival is this. I believe that revival is the restoration of a damaged relationship between a Christian and the Holy Spirit. That is my favorite definition of all definitions for personal revival. I believe that revival is the restoration of a damaged relationship between a Christian and the Holy Spirit. And let me encourage you. Make sure that there's nothing between you and the Lord. Make sure that things are good between you and the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do the soul-winning work without the aid and empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Has He been speaking to you about some things in your life of late, and perhaps you've ignored it? Are there some things that He's been wanting you to give up, and you've been grieving Him? Please, for the sake of souls, reconsider that. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to just teach what we've taught. I look forward to what You're going to continue to do in the upcoming weeks. Lord, produce from this month of teaching, produce soul winners. Produce some soul winners. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's